Well, here we are, friends, once again around the campfire with the Mayflower Council. I'm Rob DeFazio, your host from the Membership and Unit Service team. On today's episode, we're going to talk a little bit and get social with John Bishop, the Mayflower Council's brand ambassador. We're going to talk about some best practices when it comes to your social media platforms. Laura Moriarty, our senior development director, is going to be on talking a little bit about popcorn and how that can be a great fundraiser for your unit. And our programming director, Logan Ferraro, is going to be talking about some of the exciting things coming up over the next couple of months. That's all here on this episode of Around the Campfire with the Mayflower Council.
Hi, I'm David Wasarika with Mayflower Council. As you begin to prepare for your spring and fall recruiting, we want to encourage all units to select a new member coordinator. Ideally, this important role would be a volunteer other than the Cubmaster, Scoutmaster, or Chairman so that they can focus on running the unit. The new member coordinators would assist the unit leadership with organizing recruitment activities and events, engagement, and follow-up. Mayflower Council will be offering a live training seminar. There are also new member coordinator training modules in the BSA Learn Center on my.scouting.org. Feel free to reach out to me, David Wasarika, or any of the Mayflower staff with questions about this invaluable and important role of new member coordinator.
Well, here we are again around the campfire. I'm being joined by the Mayflower Council's brand ambassador and the guy who creates a lot of those great social media posts, John Bishop. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Rob. It's great to join up with you.
You handle the Mayflower Council's brand, but we also want to help our units be able to effectively post on social media so that they get some good exposure, some traction, and some good, what's that word there? Metrics, right?
Right. Analytics. You want to make sure that you're posting enough so that you're getting noticed. Make sure you're posting enough so that you're getting some traction when it comes to recruiting and event participation and things like that. And you got to make sure that you're remembering that a lot of the time when you're posting on social media, you're not actually posting for the people in your unit. You're posting for people who don't know enough about your unit or are trying to learn more about scouting. You're trying to expose your programs to a new audience, people who've never thought about it as something that's viable for their children or for themselves.
So it's obviously important that our units are in those like community groups that appear on Facebook, for example, Hudson Now or All About Franklin or any of those town groups. It's really important for those particular units to have their social media linked up with them so that those messages get spread, right?
Yeah, and you would think it would be really difficult to do that. But for the most part, if you're a person who's associated with a crew, for instance, and you want to get your messaging out there, you're probably already in some social media groups or are participating in these Facebook pages where, events and other community activities are being announced and discussed. So you don't really have to like jump out of the whammy bin and really start hitting things really hard. You really can start locally with people you know and starting to post about your own unit's activities and fun things that you're doing, photos, exciting moments, and just get them into your own social feed to start.
So in the show notes, I'm going to put a couple of links that are really important to help, you know, some basic things like BSA's guidelines when it comes to social media so our units can understand that. But can you share some best practices that our units can use when they're putting their posts up?
First of all, make sure that when you're shooting a picture of someone that you have their permission, either via a written statement or at least looking at mom and dad and saying, is this okay? BSA does not like private groups. Private spaces online. They don't want you interacting one-on-one with any youth members, but that's no surprise because you've taken YPT training. Best practices in terms of getting your social feed started is, you know, start small, but be consistent. I would say that right now, the best way to start would be to start a Facebook page and make sure that there's at least two administrators on that page. And that you are being fair in terms of how you cover, you know, say each den in your cub pack or each patrol in your Boy Scout troop. Make sure that you're interacting with other scout troops. Make sure that you're liking and sharing your things so that they can do the same for you. One thing that we're really working to do right now is to make sure that we know who all is on the social media landscape within the Mayflower Council. We're talking about upwards of 200 different units, and I really only know about 40 groups that are online. And I'm trying to like and follow and pay attention to the feeds on everyone that I can find. But when I send those notices out on social media or through the newsletters, please do take a moment to fill them out. And if you have any questions, just shoot me a note at john@mayflowerbsa.org.
Us having that information also helps you promote our brand a little bit more by taking real units and real stories from these units and showcasing them. Isn't that right?
Yeah. And we're trying to create a social media matrix. For instance, how we're going to go about making sure that people know about various units, Pinewood Derbies, how often we're going to post things about, you know, advancement, wanting to make sure that we post about the ultimate goal of all Scouts BSA, you know, to be an Eagle. You know, we want to make sure that people know about all of these special moments that moms and dads and leaders are capturing. We're not trying to get the kids on social media so much. Although as you get into the, you know, the scout and venturing rigs, you will have people who are interacting, but it's just important that when they do interact and things like that, that you're not doing it on a one-on-one basis. Particularly when the kids are over 18, then you don't have to worry about it. But if they're younger than 18, then you're in a space where you have to be ultra careful. So what we're trying to do is make sure that we're putting our best foot forward, that we're talking about successes. We're not getting bogged down in details about what people like or don't like about a brand new advancement style or something like that. And we're trying to spread the good word of scouting around so that people know what's going on and that we're still here, that girls are involved, that people of all ages are welcome, and that we're in an incredibly inclusive space where, you know, the great characteristics and lessons of scouting are still being taught every day.
What is the sweet spot? How often should units be posting per day? Is it something where they should be posting once a day? They should be posting five times a day?
You got to remember, A, you're not necessarily posting for people who know about your group. I would say that you start off with a Facebook. You try to post two or three times a week. The reality is that if you're posting two or three times a day, you're doing just fine on Facebook. You're probably that, you know, you probably want to do, if you're doing Instagram, a couple times a day. Twitter really acts very much like a news feed. You know, so-and-so did this. We did this. Look at this picture. We're going to do this. You know, where you can get into the nitty-gritty of fun, wonderful pros and explaining things is on Facebook. And I find LinkedIn, particularly for parents, is a really great spot. It, you know, depending on what you're using and how often you're using it, I'd say a couple of Facebook posts a day, no more, no less. You don't have to worry so much about doing it every day of the week. But if you're doing posting on Facebook, you got to do it at least once a week. You don't want to go more than a week without posting something. Each platform is different. Each community is different. Each troop has its own personality. And you'll see what works and what doesn't pretty quickly. I would say don't force it. If it doesn't feel natural to post on a particular time, don't.
Posting sporadically or spontaneously versus having a plan and plotting out what you're going to be posting every week, that makes a little more sense than just, oh, you know what? I have to put this out because we're going to be selling popcorn in front of Target this weekend.
It really depends on the platform. I'd say on Facebook, you're probably better off having a little bit more well thought out plan. And on Instagram, it might be a great time if you are selling popcorn and you're going to be there for a couple hours and you know that you've got a few people watching. Sure. You know, post Instagram and say, hey, we're here. We're going to do this. Make sure that everyone knows that there's leaders and scouts present so that we're being safe. And we're never using anyone's last names, especially when they're under 18. And we're being very careful about privacy. You know, if someone's not comfortable being in front of a camera, well, don't shoot them. On the flip side, a lot of people really enjoy this stuff. It is much more of a public forum than people really realize. It's a great way for us to get exposure about all the great things that we do. And on top of it, you might actually be getting exposure to a child who isn't necessarily going to be on the baseball diamond doing amazing things there, but might be doing some amazing things in the community. And don't they deserve that kind of opportunity as well? And I think that's the great thing about social, is that it can tend to be a great equalizer. You can find really great stories that don't necessarily pop in the public space without having a really personal eye on them. And then suddenly you can make sure that Jimmy gets the type of attention because he was helping out at the senior home and doing a really good job playing checkers with people.
And that's the end goal at the end of the game, is to keep putting out some stuff that continues to make our program and obviously each individual unit look great. John Bishop, thank you so much for being on and sharing some tips today with us here around the campfire. We'll be back with more right after this.
The Mayflower Council's annual recognition dinner will be held at Franklin Country Club on Wednesday, April 24th. At this annual event, we will be honoring several Silver Buffalo recipients, as well as veteran awards for volunteers with 25 or more years of service, and our James E. West Fellow Award recipient. Register today by visiting mayflowerbsa.org, select the calendar link, and search for April 24th.
We are back around the campfire here with the Mayflower Council, and I am joined by our Senior Development Director, Laura Moriarty. Laura, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Popcorn's always been a fundraising opportunity for units within the Mayflower Council. Can you tell us about some of the benefits the units will experience by using popcorn as their fundraiser?
Popcorn's one of my favorite things. In terms of our units, it's one of those items. It's kind of a win-win for both the unit and our council. Units have primary support coming from the council in figuring out how they're going to do this fundraiser. They obviously get commissions from it. They can also share and network amongst themselves in terms of, you know, best approaches, locations where they can try storefront sales. There are a number of benefits to it, but I think one of the primary benefits, and this goes for any kind of fundraiser, is what our scouts get out of it. The skills that they develop through doing a fundraiser that is particularly at a storefront, besides getting to learn about how to approach people properly, talking. Sometimes scouts don't always know how to talk to adults that they don't know. And this is one of those items where they can gain the skills and confidence in doing things like that. As I've gone through the popcorn sale many, many times, this is my 23rd.
Oh, wow.
There are five really great skills that the scouts get out of it. They get goal setting skills where they choose their goal and work to achieve it. They might not always get right to where they want it to be, but they keep working toward it. They make it their own. The other thing is persuasion skills. To think about a kid who's never really had a lot of confidence in talking to people, watching them grow that and being able to talk to people about their scouting adventures, and that is really what the sale is about. It's not about selling popcorn. It's really about selling scouting and the adventures that these kids can have and how they can express that to total strangers and get those strangers to support their program. And there's a certain level of maturity that comes with being able to handle rejection with grace. Not everyone is going to say yes. And that is something that they do get the opportunity to learn. And perseverance skills as well. Because you are going to get that no, you have to be able to go to the next person.
Exactly.
And just keep trying.
You're exactly right on the mark with that. You know, I have one of these mantras. It's a Babe Ruth quote that says that every strikeout eventually leads to another home run. And I think that that's such an important skill for kids to learn, because it's not always going to be handed to you as a yes every time you bring it up. But I also think, you know, it gets back to what we talk about as a team and what we talk about in our programs, is at the end of the day, it really is all about our youth.
Absolutely. It is so absolutely about them.
So I understand that we have a new vendor this year.
After some soul searching and a lot of seeking the advice and the opinions of our current units, we decided that, yes, it was time to make a change. So I'm really pleased to say that we've gone with Camp Masters this year as our vendor. They offer a lot more product choices, and I let the units also decide what products we were going to actually have this year. So there's 10 this year. We're really kind of excited about it because the price point is lower than what we are used to. Most of these products run between $10 and $35. That gives people a little more flexibility in what they want to offer. So we're really excited about this change and looking forward to having more units decide they might want to try this with us. For any brand new unit that didn't sell last year, we are going to actually offer them the ability to return product.
Oh, wow. So, okay.
Yeah. So they can take up to $2,500 in popcorn. They have to try at least 2 storefront sales. And if after this they've done their 2 storefront sales, they still have product left over and decide that, you know, maybe this just isn't our thing, they can return it back to our council by October 2nd. All as they have to cover is their costs for the popcorn that they actually sold. No upfront cost. They do not have to purchase this prior to getting it, like all our units. One of the benefits of doing this particular fundraiser is you can order product, get the product, pay for the product later. I don't think you're going to find that if you were to do, say, a candy sale. Typically, how candy sales work is you have to pre-purchase everything. And what you don't sell, you don't have that option of where we've got a number of units selling. So they actually do trade product amongst them. So no unit is stuck with excess inventory that they can't get to some other unit that could sell it.
This is obviously, it sounds to me like it's a risk-free thing where they can go and try it. And if they don't experience the success that they're expecting, they're going to be able to not be on the hook for any of the popcorn. And we're going to help them and reassign that popcorn to a unit that might be able to use it.
That is what we're going to do. Although I will guarantee that if they get out there for 2 storefront sales, they will not have any popcorn left.
Some of the flavors that Camp Masters offers that we're going to be carrying are a little bit different than what we had before. And I got to be honest with you, we should have did this segment after lunch instead of before lunch, because I'm looking at all these bags of popcorn going, wow, it's some really good stuff here. There's also a virtual component to this, right?
There is. Units could also opt to do an online sale. You don't have to be in front of people. You can send emails out to friends and family with a link, and they can go onto the Camp Master site and order popcorn. It's very hands-free, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And for any unit that they're doing a great other fundraiser, like wreaths or Christmas trees or coffee cakes, and that is their primary fundraiser, we don't want them to drop that fundraiser to try popcorn. What we'd like them to consider is making popcorn their secondary fundraiser. And that's where an online sale could come in wonderfully, particularly in troops. A few extra $1,000 in the kitty to go with the major fundraiser is always great. It gives you more options on even reducing dues if you need to, helping kids get to summer camp. So that would be something we'd like units to consider trying to use it more as a secondary if they've already got that phenomenal fundraiser. For units that are doing multiple fundraisers, if you're doing more than two fundraisers, you're really doing too many fundraisers. Some of the commissions that some of our units get is pretty amazing. We have our top selling unit. They did over $32,000 in sales. So their commission was over $11,000.
That's amazing. Laura, if people want to get in touch with you to have you explain more about this particular program, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, they can just reach out at Laura, L-A-U-R-A, at MayflowerBSA.org.
Folks, stick around. We'll be right back.
Join us at the annual Eagle Recognition Dinner celebrating the Eagle Scout Class of 2023. The event will be held on June 10th at Lake Pearl in Renthem. Join us as we celebrate four new outstanding Eagle Scout Award recipients, the 2023 Eagle Project of the Year winner, as well as the entire Eagle Scout Class of 2023. Friends, family, and most importantly, sponsors are all encouraged to attend this popular event. Visit MayflowerBSA.org/2023Eagle.
We're back around the campfire here with the Mayflower Council, and I'm being joined once again. He's no stranger to the podcast, Logan Ferraro, our programming director. Welcome back, Logan.
Good to always be back. Happy to be here.
So we've got some stuff coming up that we want to talk about today. We've got the Council Pinewood Derby coming up. We got Chuck Wagon and we got the Hikeree. So let's dive right in. Talk to us. Obviously, units and Cub Scout packs have been doing their Pinewood Derbies, but we have our big competition council-wide coming up, the Council-wide Pinewood Derby. Give us some details about it.
Yeah, so our Council Pinewood Derby is scheduled this year for Saturday, April 27th, so the last Saturday in April. It's going to be once again at the Congregational Church of Canton. It is a sight to be seen. If you have never attended a Mayflower Council Pinewood Derby, it is really something to check out. Jeff Piazza, the creator of DerbyNet, the program that a lot of us use to run our Pinewood Derby races, runs the day for us. He brings in TV screens and cameras. And when the scouts first come in for the day, we take a picture of the scout, a picture of their car. We get their name, the name of the car. And then up on the screen before every race, it says, in lane number one, we have Tommy with the green machine. And it's got a picture of Tommy's face and a picture of the car.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. So
this is like high tech.
Oh, yeah. It is more than high tech. It is probably the craziest Pinewood Derby I've seen, barring the glow in the dark ones that like 59 Whitman did this year.
We had none of this when I was a Cub Scout. Like, we made our Pinewood Derby. We didn't even have the council coming out and doing the cuts that you did all season for certain Cub Scout packs. My dad handed me a block of sandpaper and the block of wood and said, get to it. And we didn't have instant replay and taking pictures and big introductions. It was literally put your car on the track and race it. And if you won, you moved on.
Oh, yeah. It's really cool to watch. And so he brings a giant stoplight and the kids get to press the button to start the race. And it goes 3, 2, 1, everything races. And then he has a slow motion instant replay camera at the finish line. So after every race, we can replay how the finish line went and what the actual final recording was. Plus, we do double the awards at the Mayflower Council. So we have the stock race and the pro stock race. So each rank gets 6 trophies that we can hand out at the end of the day. So it's going to be a great day.
After Council Pinewood Derby, we have our Chuck Wagon Derby. That's going to be done at Camp Squanto this year again, right?
It is. And this year it is themed the Art of Scouting. So all of the stations have some sort of artistic background. We'll be doing tie-dyeing, we'll be doing modeling with clay. Even our slingshot section is going to be paint-based. So it's going to be a really exciting, fun day of that. And if your kids aren't the artistic type, don't worry. because during the day we'll also have the Gaga Pit going, we're going to have volleyball going, there will be lots of other activities spaced throughout camp to keep the kids busy and attentive throughout the day. And then this year, backed by popular demand after quite a few years without it, we are offering a dinner section on Saturday night. So anyone who is staying over at Camp Squanto on Saturday, which we highly recommend, if your pack is coming down for the day, get a campsite. It's no cost to you as a Mayflower Council unit. Stay overnight, hang out, and get your spring camping in while you're there. And to make it easier on all of you, if you don't want to cook dinner for the night, we're offering a $10 burgers, hot dogs, and all the fixings dinner option at the dining hall, along with our Art of Scouting Decorate Your Own Cookie Station.
Oh, you've put a lot of thought into this one. What's the date on Chuck Wagon again?
It is May 11th.
Okay. And then the next week, we're doing something really unique with hiking.
This year, we are offering the first ever BCT Hikery, and that's the Bay Circuit Trail. So for anyone who doesn't know, the Bay Circuit Trail is a 230-mile hike that runs from the South Shore up through Knobscot and all the way up to the North Shore of Massachusetts. And we are working really hard to hike the entire trail in one day. Now, we're not asking all of our Cubs and units to hike 230 miles in a day. None of us are that fit.
That's quite the hike, though, if you think about it.
It is. What the planning committee did is we took the 230-mile hike and split it up into manageable portions. So there's everything from 2 to 3 mile sections up to 9 mile sections for the bigger units or the crews. In fact, I believe 1620 from Plymouth is planning to do a 9 mile section down in Plymouth to help out with the hike. So what you do is you register your group. There is no cost to register unless you want one of our really awesome BCT hikery patches, which are $5. Once you register, you can go on to our Sign Up Genius and pick your section of the hike. The concept is that on May 18th, every unit will go to their section of the hike, and by the end of the day, collaboratively, we will have hiked the 230-mile trail. So we're really looking forward to it. It's going to be a super awesome event. And then a few weeks later, on June 9th, we will be having a barbecue celebration to celebrate the fact that we have completed the hike, and the BCT organization will be offering us a commemorative certificate that says that we've hiked the whole thing.
So, Logan, that's quite the lineup over the next 2 months. For more information, the units can actually check the show notes from today's episode, and they can actually find the links on how they can register. But if they have other questions, what's the best way for them to reach you?
You can always call me at my office line at 508-217-6164, or email me anytime at logan@mayflowerbsa.org.
Logan, always great to have you on the podcast. You always have some good stuff to share with our units, and keep up the good work with all the programming that's going on. And folks, we'll be back with more Around the Campfire right after this. Hey, folks, I want to take a moment and thank you for downloading and listening to today's episode of Around the Campfire. We're always looking for some great ideas on things you would like to know about and learn more about that's going to help you with your respective role in the Mayflower Council as a scouting leader. Please feel free to email me at podcast@mayflowerbsa.org with your ideas or suggestions, or if you just want to let us know how much fun you're having listening to Around the Campfire. Well, that wraps up another episode of Around the Campfire with the Mayflower Council. Thanks so much for listening. Once again, do us a favor. Be sure to hit that subscribe button wherever you're getting this podcast so that you can automatically be notified when our next episode is going to be coming out. Until then, I'm Rob DeFazio from the Membership and Unit Service Team. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next month right here around the campfire.